Hello, everybody. Welcome to St. John's for our 10:45 informal service. My name's Gavin, and I'm the vicar here. And you'll also see we have some new musicians who we haven't seen for a while, some of them. So Micah and Hannah, definitely with a H. Anna. That's not my fault. Micah taught me to get that wrong. And Becky and Sarah as well on the keyboard. So we're really pleased to have them with us today to help to lead our sung worship. So we're just going to invite God to come and be with us and be present with us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are here for you this morning. And we pray you will send your Holy Spirit to be present. We pray that you will make us sensitive to your presence, that we will hear your voice today. And we pray that in everything we sing and say and everything we hear, you will be speaking to us. Give us hearts that are open to be changed today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to have a time of sung worship now. And I just want to say, you will have heard me say this before. This period, we're going to have a number of songs back to back. And for some of you, this will be something you don't do all that often, something that you've maybe done on conferences or in other churches. And it's a bit new to St. John's. So I just wanted to say a word about what we're doing here. What we are doing is we are lifting up our voices in order to encounter God. That's the purpose of this time. And that means that it's more about praying than it is about singing. That's copyright Gavin Foster 2016, by the way. More about praying than it is about singing. So use this time however you like. If you feel God speaking to you, you may want to close your eyes. You may want to hold your hands out. You may want to put them in the air. You may want to sit down and sit quietly and the music flows over you. But it's all about encountering God. We're getting ourselves into a place where we can hear him and hear from him before we come to open his word. So Micah is going to lead us in the next few songs. The words will all be on the screen. And let's see what God has to say to us this morning. Let's just stand in the presence of our great God for a moment. As we've been singing, I've had a sense that God has been saying there's all sorts of people gathered here this morning. This is a new congregation, a new time, and we've all come with all sorts of ideas about what church should look like, about what worship should look like, about what we're expecting to get out of today. And I just felt God challenging us to say, just pause for a moment. I want you to see yourselves as I see you. So we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and open our eyes to see ourselves, this gathered church here, your people, as you see us. Open our eyes, Holy Spirit. I feel like there's a promise from God as well, a promise that he's going to unlock our hearts to sing to him, that where we're hesitant, where we're unsure, he's going to unlock that and help us to connect with him, our God, our Creator, our Maker, our Redeemer, our hope and our future. Come, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, we pray. Amen. Shall we have a seat? And just so you know, for future reference, it's a bit of a, I don't know if it's a bad habit or a good one, but I tend to, when we're singing, I try to go to the back, because actually I think that's where it's easiest to see what God's doing. It's easiest to see what God's doing amongst his people. When we gather together, he comes and he is present with us. And I just had a really strong sense of him being really pleased with us this morning, that actually we're a tremendously diverse group. There's really young people, much older, wiser people. I had to think about how I was going to say that. And, you know, people, successful people, struggling people, old and young, male and female. This is what the Church of God looks like. This is what it looks like. So we're really looking forward to what he's doing in this church, in all of our congregations, and particularly in this new congregation that we've started at 10:45. We want to see more of it. Come, Holy Spirit. Mike's going to come and speak to us. Mike Seddon is on our teacher. We haven't got a name for it yet, but he's on our teaching team. And many of you will know him from All Age Services and from all sorts of different things. So he's going to be speaking to us today about Stephen. Great. So shall we pray for you, Mike, before you come and open God's word to us? So, Heavenly Father, we pray that you will anoint Mike with your Holy Spirit, that the words that he speaks will be full of power and of wisdom, and that he will be speaking your words that you've given him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks, Gavin. Good morning. So, as Gavin's hinted, the Bible reading today comes from that early part of the church. And it's in the time just after Jesus' death. And at the centre of the reading is this guy called Stephen. And he was the very first person that we know who died because of his love and witness for Jesus. And I think this sort of just demonstrates to us that, you know, life wasn't easy in that early church at all. It was it just, in a modern term, it wouldn't have been a walk in the park. It wouldn't have been a walk in the park at all. But before we hear that, I just want to start us thinking. So I brought three objects, and for those of you at back, they will appear on the screen so you can see them, because one of them is quite small. So first, a carrot. So a carrot is pretty hard. It's not easily bent, but if you put it in a pan of boiling water, as you all know, it will pretty rapidly become soft and floppy and weak. And so... I was thinking about this, and sort of, is that a bit like us when we experience problems, when we face adversity? You know, when we face those things, do we start off solid and strong, or is our response to become soft and floppy and lose that strength? This is the risky bit. Or are we a bit like an egg? So if you think about an egg has got a really fragile shell. Inside, it's all liquid. But after a few minutes in boiling water, sticking to that analogy, it really rapidly becomes quite solid. And is that like us when life's problems bombard us? Do we become hardened? Does our heart go from being soft to like a lump of stone? Do we shut ourselves off from others to protect ourselves? I don't know. The small one. I've had to wrap it up so I don't lose it. Are we more like a coffee bean? Okay. When you put a coffee bean in water, it's not only the coffee bean that changes, so does the water. And it's kind of like the boiling water brings out the fragrance, the sweetness of the coffee, and actually makes the water taste better, if you like coffee, that is. So is that how we also respond when we're in those difficult situations? Do we actually sort of, does some of the best of us come out? So this morning, I think what I'm hoping to get out of this talk is really to think about, you know, those early followers, and were they like the coffee bean? And at that point, I'm just going to stop, and Peter's going to read the words for us from today's Bible reading. And Peter, away you go.
So this is Acts 7, 54 to 60. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious, and they gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he'd said this, he fell asleep.
Thanks, Peter. So, Stephen's story, it comes just after the Holy Spirit had come to the disciples. And as you may know, at that time, lots and lots of people had started following Jesus, and more were joining every single day. And that meant that the sort of disciples were going to be really, really busy, just incredibly busy. There were people who needed to know more about Jesus, and there were people who needed to be looked after. And just the whole group, this growing, growing group, just needed care. And in those very, very early days, what happened was the Christians pooled their resources, they shared things, they shared their wealth, and a really high priority was to look after widows and orphans. And to that end, what they did was they took food and they distributed it and they gave it away to different people in need. But pretty rapidly that came to a problem. Some people got more than others, and this was causing some tensions and annoyances. And as we know, in a church, what do you do when you have a problem? Well, you hold a meeting. And that's exactly what they did, even in those days. They held a meeting, and what they were looking for was a way in which those disciples could carry on praying, sharing God's word. And what they decided to do was appoint some people, seven people, and the Bible refers to them as deacons, but they were people who would come out of the following group and help the disciples. And those deacons' job would be practical. They'd do some ordinary things to help that growing community. Things like sorting out the money, buying food, giving the food away, and that's where they got Stephen involved. So Stephen was one of those seven people who came forward and they asked to help. And what we know from the Bible is that all of them were men and that they were full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. And they set about, those seven went out, they worked with the disciples, and they set about doing ordinary jobs to support the disciples in their work of spreading Jesus' message. Now, as I was preparing for today, this made me sort of think, hopefully it's making you think a little bit, and it just made me stop and think about how those very ordinary things that people do can have a really powerful effect when God's at work. Things that we can take for granted, things are quite ordinary, sometimes they're quite humdrum, but just used in the right way and at the right time, they can be really, really powerful witnesses for God and for our Christian lives. And it could be just something as really simple as when you go shopping, you go to Waitrose, and you find somebody in the shops. This actually happened to me in Bristol not so long ago, where I work, and I went into Aldi, not Waitrose, and Bristol doesn't have that many Waitroses. And there I was, and this guy was wandering along, clearly couldn't find the stuff on the shelf, he was hard of sight, and you could just help him. You could help him find what he was looking for. But there are loads of other things that can happen. So just the people who cut the grass outside, care for the plants, that's witness for God, because how many people do we see walking through our church grounds, stopping, pausing, taking a moment of reflection? So it really just made me think about how those ordinary things that we can do can be a powerful witness for God. And it also took me on to the sort of, showing slightly my age, the Oscar-winning film from the sort of middle 1980s, which was called The Mission. And I don't know if you know the film The Mission, but it's basically the story of the Jesuits and a Jesuit priest who was working in South America. And the Jesuits were taking God's message to a native tribe called the Guyanese. And the first priests who went up this mountain were killed by the Indians. They were basically suspicious and fearful of them. So the story goes on that this priest, Gabriel, he climbed the waterfall up to the Guyanese lands and starts to play an oboe. And I hope we have a video of him playing an oboe.
Thank you.
So I can't imagine what it must have been like going up that mountain, knowing what had happened to the priest before, sitting down, playing your oboe, being surrounded by the Indians. Must have been terrifying. What's extraordinary is that that simple act, something that any of us can do, playing a musical instrument, actually let the Indians know, or they recognised that Gabriel was a man of peace. They enabled him to come into their community and established a Christian community there. Now, if you know the film, like with many Hollywood films, it then goes on, has a twist, politics intervenes, and the rest you can watch for yourselves. But let's not lose sight of how that really ordinary act, that playing of a musical instrument, had an extraordinary effect in the service of God. Now let's get back to Stephen, doing his ordinary jobs in that growing community. And we know from earlier in the book of Acts, we know that he was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And it's really clear that pretty soon he got involved in more than the daily distribution of food. And Acts chapter 6 tells us that he performed great wonders and signs among the people. And it wasn't long before he stood out and perhaps became infamous rather than famous. Because the council of the Jewish people, they were called the Sanhedrin, they were disturbed by Stephen. They argued with him, but God supported Stephen and gave him all of the answers to the questions they put. And you can just imagine how that played out when the authority of the Sanhedrin was questioned. And how do we feel today when people question things that decisions we've taken or answers we might have given? It's not comfortable. And it was especially hard for the Sanhedrin at the time. They had their wisdom questioned, and they had Old Testament teachings used to support the arguments that were being put back to them. And they became really angry with Stephen. Did it put Stephen off? No. Stephen was not put off. He was a really effective communicator. He was an evangelist for the faith. And it was that effectiveness that caused his opponents to bring accusations against him. And he was put on trial for his life before the Sanhedrin. And it's just worth remembering, this wasn't one of the disciples. Stephen was an ordinary guy. He was a person drawn from that group of followers. He was there to serve the community's needs. And he was doing ordinary things. And this ordinary guy doing ordinary things went on to deliver the longest sermon in the book of Acts. And in that, he told the Sanhedrin about God's plan to rescue his people. He told them about the history, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Told them about acts of God and Moses, Joshua, King David. And last of all, he went on and told them about Jesus, who they tried to destroy. And not surprisingly, this made the Sanhedrin very angry, just enormously angry. And Luke, in the reading that Pete read for us, goes on and he tells us how Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, then did the thing that pushed the Sanhedrin right over the edge. And Stephen told them how he saw the glory of God and Jesus was not sitting but standing at the right hand of God, as if Jesus was testifying on Stephen's behalf. And so when the going got really, really tough, Stephen was not put off being faithful. He knew the likely consequences and by faith was prepared to accept them. So as we head through this month, we're heading towards Pentecost, and that's a time when we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. I just wonder, will we be like Gabriel and the Guyani tribe? Will we be like Stephen and the followers? Will we be faithfully using our skills gifted to us by the Holy Spirit? And as we use those skills, will we be drawing on the strength that the Spirit gives us and witnessing for Christ? Serving God, being witness for Jesus and our Christian life is not easy today. It wasn't easy in the early church. It's not easy today. And it just takes me back to those images I put up to the start. So when the going gets tough, will we be like the carrot? When we're under pressure, will we become soft and floppy and lose our strength? Like the hard-boiled egg, turn inwards to ourselves? I really pray not. I really pray we'll be like the coffee bean, that when the going gets tough, when we're under pressure, the best of us will come out and we'll continue to make a difference for Christ in this community and in the world outside these walls and outside our homes. Stephen was an ordinary man. He didn't mind doing ordinary things. Whatever he did, whether everyday things or some of the more difficult things, Jesus and the Holy Spirit supported him. They were there to help him. And so too will the Holy Spirit support us when we do things for him. So as we leave church today, and go into the weeks and months ahead, how is each of us going to serve God? As we've heard in Stephen's story, ordinary jobs can become extraordinary when you do them for Jesus. So as I finish, I'd like to just invite Pete Benton to come up, and Pete's going to tell us about one thing as a church community that we're going to be doing in Pentecost, which I think could lead to extraordinary results.
Thanks, Mike. I'll go straight to a video, if that's okay.
We often say to people, I'll pray for you. Or when there's a big disaster, people end by saying, our thoughts and prayers are with. As often as not, it means, I hope things go well for you. But in this time of prayer between Ascension and Pentecost, we're seeking to turn those good wishes, that expression of concern, into a reality. When we pray, we meet with God. And as often as not, we become the answer to our own prayers. That's one of the most exciting things. God, in some extraordinary way, acts with us, says, come and be my partner, come alongside, share with me, take part. And the world changes. In 2017, between Ascension and Pentecost, in our own calendar, we are seeking to pray for people to know who Jesus is. We pray for the Holy Spirit to empower every Christian, all of us, to give us a passion for sharing and witnessing the good news we have in Jesus Christ. That sense of what he's done for us, how amazing it is to know that we are loved by Jesus, that there is salvation, that when we turn to him in repentance, we find forgiveness. When we turn to him in despair, we find hope. Just the most extraordinary miracle. So what's going to happen? There'll be prayer in localities, in local churches, in non-churches, in all kinds of places. Secondly, there'll be beacon events, central events in well-known churches, in cathedrals, in big centres, where people can come together in their thousands as they did in 2016 and made a huge impact as they pray passionately.
What made us decide to get involved was the sense that it was something that reached out throughout the whole church.
It was a wonderful opportunity to gather people together from all over the diocese and indeed beyond.
Prayer walks, individual prayer, prayer groups. We held an exhibition.
24/7 prayer rooms, some held special events, there was a prayer pilgrimage.
Simply to open the doors of our church throughout the day from 8 to 8.
The result was absolutely incredible.
Through the week of prayer of Thy Kingdom Come, God grew in us.
Community kids who don't normally ever even talk about God were getting involved.
Our building could be a wonderful missional resource.
We actually told our week and we want more.
Wonderfully encouraging to see the worldwide church mobilised in prayer.
For anybody thinking of getting involved in 2017, I would say seize the opportunity.
You'll be unprepared, you wish there were other things you could have done, and that's exactly the place when God uses us.
It may be a bit uncomfortable, it may sort of stretch what you're used to, but it's really good to welcome not only God's people, but to God's Spirit.
People can share their talents. Just come.
Let's get together in calling out to God, in prayer, in whatever way we like, wherever we are, that our often lukewarm or cold hearts are set on fire with love for Jesus, that he is the answer to the fears, the despairs of all of us. Get together your way. Witness your way. Pray your way. With God, the impossible is possible.
So we're going to join in. It's quite something. It's not just the Anglican Church in this country. All churches, from the Greek Orthodox, the Methodist, the Evangelical churches, are all going to be praying for that 10 days. And since last year, it's actually gone global. Churches around the world are going to be praying for that 10 days. It doesn't matter how we pray. God hears our prayers. He says they're like sweet incense coming up before him. So however you pray, I would love it if you would join in for that 10 days, however suits you. There are many ways we could do it. You can pray in your home groups, you can pray by yourself, you can go walking and pray. There are a few specific things that we've organised that I'll tell you about. So you might remember last year, we set up a 24/7 prayer room. So for a week, 24 hours a day, praying for a new vicar. I think that worked. So that's good. And so we'll do it again. It doesn't mean we've got to fill all 240 hours that this now is. We've set aside a few slots that we do want to fill, though, for the whole of the 10-day period, 8 till 9 in the morning, 12 till 1, and 7 to 8 in the evening. So if you can sign up for one of those slots, that'd be fabulous. But beyond that, choose if there's another hour you might be able to pray. If you're not used to doing that, that's fine, but you might just feel a nudge from God to give it a go. Maybe do it with a friend. Maybe just take some of the liturgy and just read some of that and then sit in silence. But Gavin was keen that as we do this, it's for our community, so we involve our community. We had a few ideas. Some were a little bit mad, but people reined me in a touch. And so what we're going to do is deliver a leaflet to all 1,000 homes in Locks Heath that simply says, "We're praying for you." If you'd like to send us a prayer request, just email us, prayer@sjlh.org.uk. Linda has put together a lovely Facebook link. We'll send that out. So if that arrives to you, share it on, and people can send prayer requests that way. And they will make their way into a box at the back of the church. And at 7 till 8 in the back corner of the church, we will pray for every single prayer request. So join us for that. The Free Church at the Road will join us as well. And we will just pray for whoever sends us a request. They won't get a whole load of follow-up from us. We'll say we've prayed, and that'll be it. One bit of practical help I need for that 7 till 8, please could somebody lock the church for me at 8. We're going to have the whole church open 8 till 8 every day, and so people will be able to come and just pray if they choose to by themselves. Roger and Ray are going to open it at 8 o'clock every day. I could do with some volunteers, please, to close at 8. There's this big church door here, if you've got a key that can get us there. So I also need people who are just happy to lead that 7 o'clock prayer, gently get the prayers out of the box. So that's it. Please do sign up at the back. Caroline has also got us some leaflets at the back of the church where you can list the names of 5 people that you know who you'll pray for every day. So please also take one of those. It doesn't matter how we pray, but curiously, God works through us as we pray. So please join in as you see fit. Thank you. So we'll pray now, if that's okay. Holy Spirit, we welcome you for this 10 days. Lord, I thank you that you call us to work with you. And your yoke is easy, your burden is light. By your Spirit, you inspire us. And then working with you becomes a joy. So, Father, I pray you would drop the seeds into each of our hearts of what you'd like us to do. Small things, big things, whatever it might be. And, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would reach this community of ours. Lord, so many people that you look at each day, so many who do actually talk to you each day. Lord, we ask that in the name of Jesus, you would reach them. And as the Archbishop says, so often our prayers are answered through us. So we ask you to put on our hearts the 5 people to pray for. And we ask that as they get their leaflets and speak with us, that they would come to you. And we welcome you amongst us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for Gavin and for Hazel, and that the gift they and their boys are to us. We thank you that you've answered a prayer beautifully for us, and we bless them, give them strength as they lead us. And I thank you for the impact they've already had amongst us. And I pray, Lord, that you would ring the bells loud and clear from this church, that others would see and hear and long to join in with us, and your community would grow. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Great, thanks. As the band get back into position, thank you, Pete, for taking on this mantle. When I had a letter from both archbishops, actually, they wrote to all the clergy in the Church of England and said, this is what we're hoping to do. I was really excited about it. I was really excited that we had two archbishops who would write a letter like that. Can we get the whole church to be praying for people to come to know Jesus Christ? That's what the letter said. And we were in Winchester last year when the first Thy Kingdom Come event took place at the cathedral. It was one of five Beacon cathedrals at that point. There's far more this year. But it's just really exciting to think about what God might do through us. When I first had a chat with Pete about this, he said, oh, I don't know how we'd tackle that. Should we get some people together to pray about how we're going to pray? I thought, he's the right man. So we got together, we prayed about it, and we just have a real sense that this is going to be a significant moment for our church, for our community, for the Church of England, and maybe even globally. So can't wait to see what God's going to do. Sign-up sheet at the back, and look out for other opportunities to get involved.